an important observance. It's one of the ordinances that God, that Jesus gave to us to do. I love the song that went along with that, "Do This in Remembrance." But I want us to think about the Lord's Supper. I'm going to preach on that before we take on that. It won't be a long sermon, but it'll be one that I want you to listen to because it's very, very important, because there are some consequences to not listening to it. So let's take this and be listening. Let's see what the Word of God. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 11 today. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll be starting on verse 27. We'll actually do, and we'll go back up to the top when we do actually partake of the Lord's Supper. But I want us to be thinking about what Paul is addressing here. If we'll stand to our feet, we'll reverence God's Word. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. And the Word of God says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Let's pray. Father, thank you for a short time. Will you just please come and be in our midst? I thank you for your presence that I already feel. I thank you for your love to us. And I pray, God, today, as we partake and we remember, God, that we'll examine ourselves, that the Scripture says, that we'll be worthy to take of the Lord's Supper. And so I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. May Jesus' word go forth in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, those are some pretty strong words, and I want us to understand before we're just going to have some short thoughts on what Paul's dealing with here. And first thing I want you to understand is there's three words I want us to think about today, and the first one is reverence. Reverence, where Paul says in 27, "Therefore, who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Boy, that's strong language, isn't it? I want you to understand the Church of Corinth was a very gifted church, full of people, if you study it out, full of people that were gifted in the things of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. But they were also full of people. People that would take advantage and wasn't always in the Spirit of God. They would always have had this constant struggle of the flesh. They would take the spiritual gifts and actually look at it as a one-up. They were used to competing. The Isthmus of Corinth was right there that separated Upper Greece from the Lower Peloponnese, and the Isthmian Games were only second to the Olympics. And so they were used to competition. They were used to athletics, coming from athletes from all around the world competing there on their little island or their little isthmus. And so they were used to competition, and so some of that mindset, believe it or not, made it into the church. Can you believe that? That competition would make it into the church, Steve. Can you believe that something like that could make it in? And we're right in the heart of it. I know we got two teams left in our March Madness. I won't make any comments. I told Sandy I better go to bed at halftime because whoever won, I said, if they win, I won't be able to sleep. I'll be so mad. If we're not careful, though, there's nothing wrong with pulling for teams and having a good time, those kind of things. But, you know, competition is not in the Lord's house. We do not compete against the churches down the street or up on the hill or wherever. It's about coming together as people of God and being in unison, in one accord. And so the church at Corinth had this trouble. And so that when they came to the Lord's Supper, if you'll read back at 11, what they were doing, they were having a fellowship meal. Now, we all know about fellowship meal, don't we? We had a great breakfast this morning. I thank the guys that come out early today. If you didn't get to come out for breakfast, man, you missed a good one. We had sausage gravy and biscuits and eggs and, man, and bacon and grits and all those good things. And we're all about fellowship, aren't we? And fellowship and eating. I told Sandy, if I don't slow down, you're not going to be able to get me in the door. I've got to cut down. I'm getting big as a house. So I'm all about fellowship meals, but that's what they were doing. They were coming together to eat these meals, eat of the partake of the Lord's Supper, and they were doing it like they didn't care who got it. It was actually a fellowship meal to them. It wasn't anything of any significance or observance. It had become a ritual or a routine. That's what it had. If we're not careful, and that's the reason why I didn't want to come and do the Lord's Supper and just tack it on to the end of the service. I did not want to do that. Why? Because if we're not careful, we'll make it into a ritual or just a routine, and it's not to be done that way at any time. And so that he had told them, he said, you can't do that. You can't come to the Lord's Supper. And some of you are going hungry, and some of you are drunk. Some had too much, some of you had too little. And that's what was going on. He said, this is the way that you observe the Lord's Supper. And that's what I want to look at. And the first word that comes out in 27 is with reverence. We come to the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, with reverence. We reverence why? We reverence God and what he's done for us in Christ. In fact, Paul says, therefore, whoever eats, and we're going to take of this today, we're going to take of this supper. And I want you to start thinking about, are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? And please hear me. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not take of this supper. It's for believers. It's for it being in a relationship with Jesus Christ also. We're going to talk about sin. If you have known sin in your life, do not take of this supper. It's not something to be taken lightly and go through. And so reverence is how we are to approach the Lord's table. He says, don't eat this bread. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What is an unworthy manner? A lack of reverence, a lack of understanding of what it's about, a lack of seriousness of what we're getting ready to do. He says, what is it? What do? They're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Paul's admonishing the church, the Corinth, not to abuse the Lord's table. They made it into something that it wasn't supposed to be. And when we come to the Lord's Supper with reverence, this can happen without reverence. It can happen the same way. There should always be a time of reflection. And really, what we would call this period of preparation, the preparation time. It's not a ritual. We're supposed to participate in it with mind and heart. We're supposed to remember and think back, and we'll get to that. It'll be one of our words. But, you know, to trample our country's flag is to dishonor not just a piece of cloth, but to dishonor the country it represents. Last Sunday morning, woke up, you know how windy it was. It was nasty and all that. And I looked out in the yard. When I got up and looked out in the yard, and I said, what's that laying in the yard? You know what it was? There was Old Glory. It had blowed off the bakery up there, and there was the flag laying in the middle of the yard out there. I don't know about you. I couldn't, you know what? I told you it was cold, and I was like, man, I'll get it in a little bit. I couldn't stand it. I had to go out. And why? Because that don't represent, that little old piece of flag don't just, it just don't represent that bright colors. It represents the country that I stand for. And it meant something to me. I did not want it to lay out there on the ground. They've been men and women that gave their life that flag to fly. And that you could be here this morning and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and partake of this table. It meant something. And that's what he's saying right here. It's the same way. This is a representation of a Savior that one day came to this earth and gave his body and he gave his blood that we could come to know in a relationship with God. And he said, you got to have a reference, the Lord's table. And that's what he's talking about there. To come unworthy to communion is not just simply to dishonor the ceremony. It dishonors the one who we're celebrating. So you're not, when we come unworthily and we take the Lord's Supper, we're not just doing it to the supper. We're doing it to our Lord. His last night with his disciples on the Passover meal. They always gathered for the Passover. It was the biggest time that the Jews celebrated. They had set the table out. It was a time that they had four cups and bread. It's a great study there in the comparison with the Lord's table and also the Passover. But these guys, you know what he did? He changed the whole. This is something, the Passover meal, since the Israelites had come out of Egypt, that they said, he said, don't forsake keeping the Passover meal. Well, the Lord that night, you know what he did? He changed the whole face of it, and he made it into the Lord's Supper. And he said, these cups are not just to remember about you coming out of Egypt, about a death angel that passed over them in Egypt, but this is about a death angel that will pass over you if you partake of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed the whole face of it. He made it the Lord's Supper. And so for them, can you imagine that was something that grandma and grandpa, it's something that they passed down or heritage, but Jesus is getting ready to change it into the Lord's Supper. And he said, I want you guys to do this in remembrance of me. And that's what we'll read here in just a minute before we partake of it. He said, I want you to think it's in reverence to Christ and what he did for us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, stepped out of heaven, came to this earth to sacrifice. give himself as a sacrifice for our sin. He took the sin of all humanity on his shoulders. And they crucified him on a place called Calvary. And they buried him. But on the third day, he arose. He arose that if we would accept, if we as God's people here, understand this, we can take this message out to the lost world. Because if you've never understood it, here it is. That one day, if you could come to the place where you understood it was your sin that sent him to that cross, ask him to forgive you. What am I doing? Raking something? Let me pull that up. There, that's better. If you could come to that place where you understood your sin before a holy God and you asked God to forgive you because of that sacrifice of what Jesus did on that cross, that you could be in a right standing with God to receive him as your personal Savior. That's what this is in remembrance of, what he did to each and every one of us today. He saved us through his body and through his blood. Well, not only is it reverence in coming to his table, but I want you to look at 28 and 30. There's repentance involved. Look what he says in 28 and 30. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So there's a time of examining ourselves, an inward look. And then he makes his statement in 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There's not only a reverence, but there's a time of repentance. There's a time of reflection. This is part of the preparation before we take the Lord's Supper. There's a time that we look on the inside and we see, is there sin in my life? Is there sin that I know, known sin in my life, that I'm coming to take partake of the Lord's Supper with that sin and I'm not going to do anything about it? Do not do that. And you'll see the rest of that. This is a time when we reflect inward. We ask God about our motives, our attitudes, all these things that drive us that sometimes we don't even deal with. A time of repentance. Is there somebody that you're angry with? A fellow brother and sister? Is there somebody that you have hatred against? These are sins that we are to deal with before we take of the Lord's table. These are sins. It's a time of repentance. It's reverence and repentance. He says for us to examine ourselves. Another part of Christ, he said, unless you're worried about failing the test, a man is to examine himself to see if he's worthy of the Lord's table. Without examination, we bring judgment upon ourselves. He says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And the results of that, what's the results? Okay, we just come without reverence, or we don't come with a time of repentance. What is the result of that? What does Paul say? For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. You know what he's saying there? He's saying weak and sick and sick, and somebody's died. Some people have died because of it. How serious is that? The Lord's table. People are weak and sick, and some have slept. That word for sleep is for believers. They have died. Why? Because they're not coming to the Lord's table in a right way. That's how serious that it is. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to think about our reverence coming before the Lord, remembering what he's going to do here in just a minute, and then the repentance. Are they things in our hearts that we need to make right before the Lord, before we partake of the Lord's table? Before we start and partake of the Lord's Supper, I want us to have a time of quietness. I want you to bow your heads before the Lord right now. And I want you to search your heart. Only you and God know this. I want you to search your heart. First, I want you to know if ask yourself if I ever received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's very important. You need to know that you're saved. If you're not saved, you ask God to forgive you and you accept his sacrifice for your sin. If you are saved, then I want you to do some examining right now. I want you to ask, is there known sin in my life? Is there sin that I know that is against God's Scripture, his holy word? Am I living in that? And I know I've never asked God to forgive me and I'm not turned for that. I want you to deal with that right now. Is there somebody that you're upset with?
somebody that you might have hatred to, I want you to deal with that right now. Ask God to forgive you of that. I want us to have just a few moments of silence before the Lord. Deal with sin in your life. Any impure motives, anything, any attitudes that you know that does it please the Lord. Boy, it's good to be still before the Lord. Reverence and repentance. Okay. Let's think about that. Reverence and repentance before the Lord, before we partake of the Lord's Supper. It's difficult sometimes to let go of things, maybe in bitterness, that you've harbored for a long time. But we have to before we come to the Lord's table. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. It's hearts and minds clear before the Lord. I want us to partake of the Lord's Supper now. I want us to think, though, a reverence and repentance. We keep that same mindset as we partake of the Lord's, because the last thing is, I want you to see, is remembrance. And that's what Paul says at 23. And so we're going to now, we're going to start and serve the bread. Barry, if you'll come forward, we'll start serving the bread. I want us to keep that same mindset of reverence and repentance before the Lord. If the Lord brings something to your mind, you ask Him to forgive you of it.
Lifestyle. About 4 years ago, we made the decision we wanted to find a little mountain retreat for an occasional weekend. And the very first Sunday that we were up in this part of the country, my son Carter, who's with me today, Carter and I came, it was July the 4th, 2010, and we visited with the folks here at South Fork Baptist Church. And while I thought we were looking for something for an occasional weekend, what has become is something that every weekend, unless we have something else scheduled to do, we make sure we find ourselves in Todd so that we can spend time here. Because what we found at South Fork was an atmosphere of very accepting Christian love and fellowship, and we wanted to be a part of that. I was actually raised in a Christian home. My parents took me to church when I was 2 weeks old, and I always tell people that it was a small country Baptist church. Every time the door was open, we were there. At the age of eight, I made the decision that I wanted to follow Christ and have Christ as my Savior, and I made a decision that I was going to serve the Lord. Like many people who make decisions that early in life, I certainly understood what I was doing, but I had no understanding of what I would face in the process. And I'm sure sometime during high school and college, I probably did some things that I shouldn't do, but fortunately, because I had been raised in a very devout Christian home, I didn't stray too far. And when I turned 24 years old, not long after my wife and I were married, my father died suddenly of a heart attack. And I looked back at what his life of servanthood had been and thought, you know what, that is exactly what Christ is asking for me. And so I rededicated my life and said, I'm going to become the servant that I'm supposed to be. And that's how that started at that age. And I would tell you what happened after that is I became very entrenched in the church. Eventually became a deacon, chairman of the deacons, and chairman of the personnel committee, and all the other committees that happened at the church. And some years later, I'm going to say I got burned in that process, because what I realized was that church is great. Church is Christ endorsed. It is Christ founded, and we're here to serve Christ. But I found that I spent too much of my time serving the church and the activities in the church and forgot that the purpose of being involved in the church is to serve Christ. So after spending some time away from the church, not necessarily away, but not quite as involved, I rededicated myself again to personal prayer and study. And that has continued. And I have found that there's a new joy with reading the Word, daily prayer time, very early in the morning. I'm an early riser, so I get up, spend my quiet time, my time with the Lord, and pray and read my Bible. And a couple years ago, when Homer encouraged us all to begin reading the Bible through, chose to do that. So now we're in year three of doing that, and I find that every day that I read the Word, there's something new that comes out of that. And it's been a great experience for me. And I found that through time and dealing with people, that a couple of things I've learned, first of all, is all people have some good, but all people have some bad. All people have some truth, and all people have some bias. But Jesus is the same every time I go to Him. And my purpose is to follow Christ, not follow the people, but certainly enjoy the fellowship of Christians that God provides us. And that's what we're trying to do. And then I'll end with this. A couple of verses that are very meaningful to me. I'm sure the first one is known by all. Romans 8:28, where God reminds us that He uses all things for His purpose. And the reason that verse is so meaningful to me is because in our lives we find so many things that go on that disappoint us, that shock us, that put us in a position to be disgruntled or backwards. And I think, you know what? God uses everything. He uses every situation. He uses the good things that happen in my life, the good things that happen with my family, but He also teaches me things. He teaches me things through the things that are perceived to be bad in my life. So I love that verse. And then I'll end with this one, Psalms 1:6, and I'm just going to read it out of the Living Bible because I like the simplicity of it. He says, "The Lord watches over all the plans and the paths of godly men, but the paths of the godless lead to doom." And I've decided that basically what that tells me is we get to choose. We get to choose which path we take. We can choose the path of the godly, or we can choose the path of the ungodly, and it's very clear where those paths lead. And as for me, I'm going to choose to follow Christ.
For supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me." To finish off, I want us to see how verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." So this is not just a ritual that we do or partake of. This is a proclamation to the world that we're Christ's children and we're waiting on Him to return at any time. Think about your life as you go out into the workforce tomorrow. It continues to be that proclamation unto the Lord until He returns. The Lord's Supper, reverence, repentance, and remembrance. I'm going to have a time of altar call. And will you come pray? I think it would be a shame not to give somebody, if somebody made accepted or asked Christ into their heart, maybe during that time of repentance, this would be a great time for you to come forward and make that known. If you're still needing to hear about that, I would love to talk and tell you how the Scripture says how you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Also, there might be somebody just wants to come up and have a time of just prayer before the Lord. God's maybe showed you some things in your life in our time, and maybe you want to just make it right to come up and say, "Lord, thank you so much." A time of thanks unto the Lord. Whatever God wants you to do, He wants you to do it. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a short time of invitation, and then we'll give it to the Lord. Father, thank you so much. I'm so blessed. Thank you as we go into remembrance. Thank you for helping us to have reverence when we take of the Lord's table. Thank you for, God, the repentance in my own heart, the things I need to deal with before I come to the Lord's table. And thank you for, most of all, for remembrance of what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. And so, Lord, this is your time, this invitation time. You work with hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
verse. This might be your verse. Don't let it pass you by this morning. Something that maybe coming or walking the aisle seemed just a little bit out off kilter for you, please come see me after service. I'm here for you anytime. I'd love to talk to you about the things of the Lord. If you're struggling, want to know that you know that you have Jesus as your personal Savior, see me after the service. If this, we're getting ready to go out into our mission field, are we not? We're getting ready to go out in our mission field. Take Christ with you wherever you go. Take some of the cards and invite people to come in the community. There's a whole pile of people that are already in church today with little old kids, all strode out through these hills and hedges and in the valleys. Take your card, invite people to come out to our Easter egg hunt next week and in our Easter services. So I thank each and every one of you. I'm going to ask Barry to close his in prayer.